Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, let me share with you the commission of the ministry that was given to Joseph Hedgecock many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They've sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts. I've given them those things and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of the Lord Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him, grow up in Him, and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message called Childish. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 8 to 11. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 8. "Love never fails, but where there are prophecies, they shall fail. Where there be tongues, they shall cease. Where there be knowledge, it shall vanish away." Verse 9. "For we know in part, and we prophesy in part." Verse 10. "But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." Verse 11. "But when I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things." The word childish in Strong's is number 3516. It comes from some other words meaning not speaking. That is an infant, a minor, figuratively, or a simple-minded person, an immature Christian, a babe, or somebody childish. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in the introduction on pages 6 and 7, Joseph Hedgecock writes, "Many Christians dream of being anointed by God and having the Holy Spirit abiding in them, directing and manifesting through them. They want to see Him do miraculous works through them, but very few see this happen. Those who do see it do not see it very often. I ask you, what are you most interested in? Are you focused on God's anointing, manifesting in you, or are you more interested in the type of work He does through you? If the miraculous manifestations of the Spirit are more important to you than having a consistent anointing from God on your life, then your priorities are wrong. Now is the time to invest in your love relationship with God. The gifts of the Spirit are given to you for a purpose, to fulfill God's perfect will in your life on this earth and bring glory to God." We read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, verses 17 to 21. This is in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. I'm reading verse 17. "And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written." Verse 18. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised." Verse 19. "To preach the acceptable year of the Lord." Verse 20. "And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him." Verse 21. "And he began to say unto them, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in the introduction on page 7, Joseph Hedgecock writes, "With God's anointing comes everything you need to obey what He has authorized. But you must believe this truth for it to work. Whatever God commands you to do, he gives you the authorization for it to be done. In other words, everything you need, he provides, but this must be activated by faith. Then you must carry out his instructions in the Spirit as you give the glory, credit due to him for what he does through you. There are some very talented people in the world, sent here by God using natural gifts for earthly gain that will pass away. The church is making the same mistake with spiritual gifts, building their own kingdoms. God's gifts will not manifest consistently when grace runs out for being childish. Some use the gifts to have an appearance of being spiritual, deceiving themselves. John said in 1 John chapter 4, verses 1 to 3. I'm reading 1 John chapter 4, starting in verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they be of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God, and every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. Verse 3. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof ye have heard that it should come, and even now already it is in the world. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in the introduction on page 7, Joseph Hitchcock writes, I asked my Heavenly Father to show me how I could have his anointing in my life. He said, if you trust me and acknowledge me in all your ways, then I will direct your steps. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6. Once I have given you an instruction, I have authorized the grace, strength, and abilities to obey. My anointing means I set you aside and authorize you to do this work. You should expect the Holy Spirit to be on you, enabling you to complete your assignment, regardless of how small it is in the eyes of man. It is not small in my eyes, because this is the way I qualify you for greater things. Many churches do not believe that Christ came in the flesh. They believe that Jesus independently used his divine power and consulted his own will. This is the Antichrist spirit that is still in the church today. Church leaders will not teach that you should acknowledge God in all your ways. Instead, they say God gave you a brain and he expects you to use it. Jesus is our example. He emptied himself and relied on the Holy Spirit to get his orders and instructions. He called himself the Son of Man and was anointed consistently. Jesus was speaking to his disciples in John 4 and verse 34. This is John's Gospel, chapter 4, and reading verse 34. And Jesus said unto them, My meat is to do the will of him that sent me, and to finish his work. You should have made the decision at salvation to stop leaning to your own understanding. Being wise in your own eyes is childish and an open door for evil in your own life. We read in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 to 8. This is Proverbs chapter 3. I'm starting in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Verse 6, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Verse 8, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version, in the introduction on page 7, Joseph Hedgecott writes, From that day on, I sought God for directions in all areas of my life, large and small. My number one motive was to express my love to the Lord through my obedience. John 14, verse 15. Obedience with a pure heart made the way for the Holy Spirit to manifest in my life in everyday situations as well as in challenging, life-changing circumstances. When this happened, my relationship with God deepen dramatically. My advice to you is to keep it simple. Do not complicate what the Lord reveals to you. With revelation comes anointing. This includes conviction as well. When God speaks to you, He provides the anointing, authorization with the word to do what He says. Do not prejudge how you think the Holy Spirit should manifest to you and in you. Do not be discouraged if you do not sense a dramatic flow of His presence. He may choose to manifest in peace, joy, comfort, conviction, or any number of other ways. Be content with how He chooses to manifest. As time goes on, you will experience His presence in many diverse ways. And when this becomes a way of life for you, as it should, you will no longer be tempted by anything the world, your flesh, or the enemy has to offer. God is love, and He provides what is perfect and good for mankind. We have an earnest of His kingdom on earth now through the Spirit, and you can experience His love by doing the will of God. You must deny yourself and take up your cross daily. Jesus spoke about spiritual things in parables so that those who were naturally minded would hear but not understand. The Jewish leaders could not understand directly what He was saying and had to consider His words carefully. We read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, verses 20 to 21. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, I'm reading verse 21. And when He was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, He answered them and said, "The kingdom of God cometh not with observation." Verse 21. "Neither shall they say, Lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." The Jews were blinded by their own opinions. His kingdom has now been here by the Spirit for nearly 2,000 years. Jesus preached the kingdom was at hand when He came the first time. Paul also said in Romans 14 and verse 17, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost." The kingdom of God is here for those who want to please God by faith. Only a few believe God is communicating His perfect will clearly through the Holy Spirit all the time. This is also how it will be when Jesus sets up His kingdom on the earth for 1,000 years. Jesus said to His disciples in John's Gospel, chapter 16, verses 7 to 14. This is John's Gospel, chapter 16, I'm reading verse 7. "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send Him unto you." Verse 8, "And when He is come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Verse 9, "Of sin, because they believe not on Me." Verse 10, "Of righteousness, because I go to My Father, and ye see Me no more." Verse 11, "Of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged." Verse 12, "I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now." Verse 13, "Howbeit, when He, the Spirit, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He shall not speak of Himself. But whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He shall show you things to come." Verse 14, "He shall glorify Me, and He shall receive of Mine, and show it unto you." There will be no more upgrades in God's communication system. Those who want to speak to Jesus face to face, like those early disciples, would be disappointed. Jesus came in His human form to save sinners and die on the cross and showed us the way to live by denying self. The kingdom of God is already here now, so you can get what you need to fulfill God's plan without serving the God of this world. The devil will soon be locked up, but if you overcome temptation now, by obeying the Spirit, you get to be part of Christ's kingdom on earth. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 21, verses 7 and 8. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 21, I'm reading verse 7. He that overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Verse 8. But the fearful and unbelieving, and the abominable, and murderers, and whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Those who are fearful are earthly minded and worldly. Those who are childish are easily distracted by the things of the world and unwilling to give up the control of their own lives. Those who are carnal in the church are barely able to endure conviction, the milk of the word, because they have an agenda to do other things. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'm reading verse 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. Verse 2. I fed you with milk, not with meat, for hereunto you are not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. Verse 3. For you are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? In the book, My Sheep Hear My Voice, Revised Edition, in chapter 5, Practical Steps to Fellowship with God, on pages 65 to 66, Joseph Hedgecott writes, many believers don't really know what they do to get in the Spirit when they find themselves there. They go to church and praise the Lord, and they forget about everything else in their lives for a few moments. It'll be easy to assume that praising God moves them into the Spirit. But it's actually because they are confessing Jesus as their Lord and bowing before him. For that moment, they stop being Lord of their lives and submit everything to Jesus as their Lord. Then, as soon as the service is over, they take over the Lordship again and lose the peace of God that is resident when Jesus is Lord. They are moved into the Spirit with what I call divine herding. They get in the right atmosphere and are herded into the Spirit without any real understanding of how they got there. Unfortunately, they get herded back out of the Spirit just as easily. It seems they end up on a cattle drive, spending all their time running up and down the trail between the two natures. In fact, some of you have trail ruts 4 feet deep between the two natures because you keep running back and forth between them. The gifts of the Spirit operating are not a confirmation that you are spiritual. You're either in the flesh or in the Spirit. There is no third category. The only way you can fail to grow spiritually as a child of God is to keep moving between these two natures. One well-respected preacher in his book wrote that the only way to God's presence was through praise and worship. To those who are carnal, this appears to be right. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. This is the book of Revelation chapter 3. I'm reading verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou would be cold or hot. Verse 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. If you keep moving between these two natures, the best you can be is lukewarm. If it were possible to come in the presence of God through worship and praise, then it would be by doing works and not by grace through faith. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. This is in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. I'm reading verse 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that is not of yourselves. It's a gift of God. Verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 3, Spiritual Maturity, in chapter 7, on growing up, on page 66, Joseph Hedgecott writes, getting in the Spirit is not complicated. In fact, it's very simple. God's instructions have never and will never change. Humble yourself before God and repent of the sin of your lordship and all its resulting sin. When you do these things, you automatically move into the Spirit and become a spiritual person. The less you help God, the more spiritual you become. The more you help, the more you get in His way. This quote from Arthur Burt in Pebbles to Slay Goliath says it well. God does much with little, most with least, and everything with nothing. If you want to be a mature spiritual Christian, lay aside your past. Stop identifying with your carnal nature. Embrace the deliverance you received at salvation. Stop telling God your good ideas and making decisions without seeking His will. A few basic decisions made well and maintained will quickly move you from childishness to growing up and then on to maturity. The gifts that you receive belong to God and must be directed by Him to ensure they're used in the right way. They were even designed to work properly when you deny yourself and take up your cross daily. In the Amplified Bible, in 1 Corinthians 13 and verse 8 says, love never fails, never fades out, or becomes obsolete, or comes to an end. As for prophecy, the gift of interpreting the divine will and purpose, it will be fulfilled and pass away. As for tongues, they will be destroyed and cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. It will lose its value and be superseded by truth. If you fail in your God-assigned mission, it will only be because of a lack of love. God's people who are love deficient often satisfy an emptiness they feel in other ways. In churches deprived of love, many have learned to edify themselves through knowledge and praying in tongues. Christians edify themselves singing modern charismatic songs, repeating words that are not correct. If you are doing this, then it's possible you have lost your first love. You cannot love God passionately until you first experience His love and forgiveness yourself. Paul said in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. This is Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. Verse 8. But God commanded His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. After speaking about the gifts of the Holy Spirit and their place in the church, Paul started speaking about the importance of love and doing things motivated out of love. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and reading verse 31. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. The word excellent in Strong's is number 5236. It comes from another word which means a throwing beyond others. That is figuratively a supereminence. Adverbially, a preeminently. Abundance, far more, exceeding. Excellency, more excellent, beyond or out of measure. Love is the more excellent way. Churches preoccupied with the gifts of the Spirit are still childish or immature. The gifts of the Spirit are not the sign of maturity, but the fruit of the Spirit is. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 1 to 3. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm reading verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Verse 2. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains, and have not love, I am nothing. Verse 3. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, and have not love, it profits me nothing. Without love, the gifts of the Spirit that exalt and minister a leader are like a painful noise in the ear. Someone with the ability to move mountains, figuratively or literally, would be in great demand today. Those who prophesy or have all knowledge on any subject would be valuable in the church that cannot hear God. However, in the eyes of God, the most talented person is nothing, and what they achieve is worth nothing in the sight of God if it was not motivated or done out of love. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 7. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 4. Charity suffers long and is kind. Charity envies not. Charity vaunts not itself, is not puffed up. Verse 5. Does not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, thinks no evil. Verse 6. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Verse 7. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. The word charity in Strong's is number 26. From the word meaning love, that is affection or benevolence, specifically plural, a love feast, a feast of charity, dearness and love. In the Amplified Bible, 1 Corinthians 13, verses 4 to 7 says this: love endures long and is patient and kind. Love never is envious, nor boils over with jealousy, is not boastful or vainglorious, does not display itself haughtily, is not conceited, arrogant, and inflated with pride. It's not rude, unmannerly, and does not act unbecomingly. Love, God's love in us, does not insist on its own rights, its own way, for it is not self-seeking. It's not touchy or fretful or resentful. It takes no account of the evil done to it. It pays no attention to a suffered wrong. It does not rejoice at injustice and unrighteousness, but rejoices when right and truth prevail. Love bears up under anything and everything that comes. It's ever ready to believe the best of every person. Its hopes are fadeless under all circumstances and endures everything without weakening. The priority for the church today is God's love flowing in everything. Check personally and see if you have a deficiency of love. Study each of these statements about the fruits of love that should be functioning in your own life. Love is a fruit of obeying the Spirit, so it will not fade because of persecution or hardship or a lack of love coming from others. Difficult circumstances are just a greater opportunity to sow more love into God by the Spirit. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verses 39 to 42. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and reading verse 39. But I say unto you, that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Verse 40. If any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Verse 41. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him too. Verse 42. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow to thee, turn not thou away. Man was created to serve God directly, as his representative on earth. Since God is love, then everything not done in love is serving the devil instead. Jesus was teaching in Matthew chapter 5, verses 2 to 8. This is Matthew chapter 5, I'm reading verse 2. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Verse 7. Blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. Verse 8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. The word blessed in Strong's is number 3107, a prolonged form of another word meaning the same, supremely blessed, by extension, fortunate, well off, blessed, happy or happier. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, 2016 reprint version in chapter 8 on first love. On page 110, Joseph Edgecott writes, natural love has selfishness mixed with it. No one was born with godly love resident in their hearts. But when you humbled yourself, repented, and opened your heart to God, he poured his love into you. God manifests his love in you to the level you open your heart to him. Also, you can only respond with love to the measure that you have received. God desires us to love and trust him with our whole hearts so he can pour more love into us. The manifestation of his love in our hearts enables us to love him more through our obedience. The selfishness in this world will put many demands on those with any pure love. So you will need a regular supply yourself if you're going to serve others. God is the source, and you will not find an unending supply of love anywhere else. Jesus said in John 14 and verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. Through the Spirit, you can now do something motivated out of love. By obeying his commands, you will not deceive yourself or sow something selfish based on your own ideas. God is waiting for you to humble yourself and start sowing in the right way, and he will make sure you get more love back. Paul said in Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 and 8. This is in the book of Galatians chapter 6. I'm reading verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Verse 8. For he that sows to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that sows to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. For more information on how to develop your love relationship with God through obeying and keeping his commands, please read the book How Love Grows by Joseph Hedgecock. God wants everyone everywhere to stop sinning before time runs out. If you're born again, use the gift of eternal life from now on to hear God and obey the Holy Spirit. There's no other option. Paul said in Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. God can give you more time to change and simply obey his commands, but everyone will reap what they sow. The only solution to sin is to humble yourself and make him Lord. It's not strange if suddenly you as a child of God start reaping the consequences of sin sooner than the world. If you're born again, you have no excuse. You can now repent of your own lordship and hear his voice. Peter said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. This is 1 Peter chapter 4. I'm reading verse 17. For the time is come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begins at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? Verse 18. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Everyone will face the judgment at the end. However, through your relationship with God, you will find out earlier what you need to change. You may go through some humbling circumstances if you do not learn to walk in the Spirit. Paul said in Galatians chapter 5, verses 25 and 26. This is Galatians chapter 5, I'm reading verse 25. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Verse 26. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. There should be no competition between churches. Jesus told those disciples following him to make disciples, not converts. Ministries making disciples are not doing something vain or empty. Those doing ministry in spiritualized flesh are already vain. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 24 to 26. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm reading verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient. Verse 25, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves, if God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Verse 26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. The gifts you have will manifest when needed. Anyone serving in the kingdom of God is doing things in meekness and humility, submitting to God, doing his perfect will. You must have your own personal relationship with God. You might be in ministry and not realize just how you have sinned and that God has forgiven you so much. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, verses 21 to 35. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, I'm reading verse 21. Then came Peter to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times? Verse 22. And Jesus said unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven. Verse 23. Therefore is the kingdom of heaven likened unto a certain king, which would take account of his servants. Verse 24. And when he began to reckon, one was brought unto him, which owed him 10,000 talents. Verse 25. But for as much as he had not to pay, his Lord commanded him to be sold, and his wife and children, and all that he had, and payment to be made. Verse 26. The servant therefore fell down and worshipped him, saying, Lord, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Verse 27. Then the Lord of that servant was moved with compassion, and loosed him, and forgave him the debt. Verse 28, but the same servant went out and found one of his fellow servants, which owed him 100 pence. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, pay me that thou owest. Verse 29, and his fellow servant fell down at his feet and besought him, saying, have patience with me, and I will pay thee all. Verse 30, and he would not, but went and cast him into prison till he should pay the debt. Verse 31. So when his fellow servants saw what was done, they were very sorry, and came and told it unto their lord all that was done. Verse 32. Then his lord, after that, he called him and said unto him, O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt because thou desirest me. Verse 33. Shouldest not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? Verse 34. And his Lord was wroth, and delivered him to the tormentors, till he should pay all that was due unto him. Verse 35. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not every one of his brother their trespasses. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 11, on God Sees in Fullness, on page 172, Joseph Hedgecott writes, when things went wrong in my life, I turned to God alone. Consequently, I placed all of my faith in him, rather than depending on another person. My parents helped me, and my wife helped me, but they could not come close to what the Lord Jesus provided for me by his Spirit. Because of that, Jesus became my first love. Ministries with those called of God fail because of a lack of the love that is needed to do things God's way. If Jesus is not your first love, you'll become childish and find it hard to forgive others. You do not need to know the plan in great detail either. God is love, and to serve in the kingdom, three things are essential. Paul said it in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 12 and 13. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm reading verse 12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even also as I am known. Verse 13, and now abides faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. The word abideth in Strong's is number 3306. It is a primary verb to stay in a given place, state, or relation, or expectancy. It means to abide, continue, dwell, endure, be present, remain, stand, tarry. Three things will always be needed. Number one, faith. Faith is simply trusting God that He is trustworthy to do what He said He would do. God's method of learning requires you to hear and obey first, and understanding will come later. Number two, hope. Your salvation is guaranteed if the Holy Spirit is still working on you. Conviction leading to repentance is the hope of eternal glory. Your life should be changing up to the time you die or meet Jesus at His appearing. Number three, love. God is pure, so now through obeying His commands, you can save yourself from heartache, misery, and regret. You will never reap anything bad if you obey and keep His commands. You obey God even when it's difficult, as this is a greater expression of love. His ways are higher than man's ways, but He will never try you beyond your ability to endure. You are supposed to live your life directed by God. Along the way, you will be corrected. This is also love. Knowledge of His love will help you endure the chastening. Learn to sow love into God by sowing in the Spirit. This will keep you awake spiritually, doing the right thing out of love. Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 6 to 8. This is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'm reading verse 6. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. Verse 7. For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. Do not help God. He has the plan. If you are not listening to God, you're asleep, and you may miss God's daily provision. You need your breastplate of righteousness. It seems more than half of the church is asleep, and those who are awake do not serve the flesh again and do everything out of love. They're not staying up late seeking some short-term pleasure at the expense of morning prayers. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 13. This is Matthew chapter 6. I'm reading verse 9. After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Verse 10. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Verse 11. Give us today our daily bread. Verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. He knows your basic needs. So you just need to hear and obey God. By letting Jesus become functional Lord of your life, you will discover what is really important. Over a period of time, without God's love, you will become selfish, narrow-minded, blind, and focused on temporal issues again. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 17 and 18. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 3. I'm reading verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and am increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable, and poor and blind and naked. Verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salver, that thou mayest see. Those following Christ are denying themselves daily, taking up their cross to do the will of God. The kingdom of God is here now, so you can start enjoying God's provision through obedience. Do not be selfish, as nothing in God's kingdom is self-seeking. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 31 and 32. This is Ephesians chapter 4. I'm reading verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Verse 32. And be kind ye to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. The church located in the port of Ephesus had become bitter and angry, striving after other things, and eventually lost their first love. Let God provide everything you need without seeking it yourself. You may never have experienced the difference between the love that's in this world and God's pure love. Jesus said in Matthew 6, verse 33 and 34. This is Matthew chapter 6, I'm reading verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 34. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You do not need to be in control, because you would make things worse. Jesus is in control. The kingdom of God is here now. So seek to be a servant of Christ in every situation, even if you're in a position of authority in this world. The servant of all is the greatest in his kingdom. Being anxious about tomorrow will hinder you from knowing what you need to know and getting his orders. Your heart and mind should be still. God can easily remind you of things you forgot that you need to do, ready for tomorrow. In this way, you can experience his care and love for you as well. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 14 to 17. This is in Hebrews chapter 10. I'm reading verse 14. For by one offering hath he perfected forever them that are sanctified. Verse 15. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before. Verse 16. This is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds I will write them. Verse 17. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. His laws are not based on rights and wrongs, but on his grace. Through God's purifying process, you as a child of God should be able to love your enemies. This is what Jesus did for you when you were his enemy. Loving your enemies confirms you are a child of God. Jesus said in Matthew 5, verse 43 to 46. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. I'm reading verse 43. Ye have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. Verse 45. That ye may be the children of your Father, which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. Verse 46. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? With God's love perfected, you are a new creation. Make no excuses. There are consequences for just loving those who love you. A lifestyle that's dependent on others is only a way that seems right. You are actually trapped, comfortable, and start ignoring other truths that you need to follow Christ. Your preference should be to love, not to be loved by others. John said in 1 John 4, verses 7 and 8. This is 1 John chapter 4, I'm reading verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Verse 8. He that loveth not knows not God, for God is love. Only God's kingdom has this pure love you need. God has an abundance. You may have been hurt as a result of not releasing God's love in a situation that needed more love. You always have an option to love if you're born again. When you react based on rights and wrongs, you put pressure on others and cause them to stumble. The devil uses rights and wrongs to get you to do something selfish. Those who do not have access to God have no choice to be selfish. It may hurt others and you as well. If you get wounded in the process because you provoked someone else, you have to repent. We read in Jeremiah 29 verses 11 to 13. This is in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 29, I'm reading verse 11. For I know the thoughts which I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace, and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Verse 12. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. Verse 13. And you shall seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. You are his workmanship in Christ. God's motive and actions are always right and pure for your life. When you seek him with all your heart, you will find him. God is not the problem. Your heart is the problem. When you seek him, you shall find him instantly if your heart is pure. Paul said in Hebrews chapter 2, verses 10 to 11, this is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 2, I'm reading verse 10. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. Verse 11. For both he that sanctifies and those who are sanctified, all are of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. God sees things in fullness. He treats those who are being sanctified for following Christ in the same way as those who are already sanctified. For more information on God sees things in fullness, please read chapter 11 of the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity. Sanctification is a process that involves some simple correction rather than a rebuke. The best response to any correction is to confess and repent. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 19. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 3. I'm reading verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous therefore and repent. The chastening of Jesus Christ is proof of his ongoing love for the church. Despite this, many believers are childish, and even trained pastors fear correction. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. This is in the book of Romans chapter 8, I'm reading verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation for those which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Always stay in Christ when corrected, and let the Holy Spirit lead you to the right scripture that you need to get to the root of sin. If you're coming under condemnation, you need to stop because you've come out of Christ. You can study these areas later when you are ready to repent of whatever God shows you through conviction. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 14 and 15. This is 2 Timothy chapter 2, reading verse 14. Of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Verse 15. Study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To study words with your mind without some conviction is unprofitable. Keep detailed records of what God shows you through conviction. Purpose in your heart to be a doer of the word as soon as you receive any correction by the Spirit as part of your love for God. Do not resist or hinder conviction, as this is the hope of salvation for everyone. To be a doer of the word, true repentance, you may need more truth. You can ask for more. Eternity is coming, and truth is still rare in the body of Christ. Those in the church and in the world, with the academic system of learning, avoiding conviction, do not get to know God. We read in Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 to 25. This is in the book of Jeremiah chapter 9. I'm reading verse 23. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches. Verse 24. But let him that glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. Verse 25. Behold, the days come, says the Lord, that I will punish all them which are circumcised with the uncircumcised. Conviction is a blessing. God loves you, and he wants you to get to the truth and change through repentance. Often those seeking more knowledge already have more than enough information to come to repentance. They do not want to believe that something can really be that simple with God. They assume the situation is more complicated to justify their own self-deception. Those heavily deceived in the beginning were childish and did not take the opportunity to do things God's way the first time. James said in James chapter 1, verses 22 to 25, in the book of James, chapter 1, and verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Verse 23. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Verse 24. For he beholds himself, and goes his way, and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. Verse 25. But whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, that man shall be blessed in his deed. God is faithfully transmitting his perfect will for every child of his. Those in the church today want knowledge rather than a message that includes any conviction. Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 and 4, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'm reading verse 3. But if our gospel be hid, it's hid to them that are lost. Verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. In the book My Sheep Hear My Voice, 2021 edition, in chapter 10, on conviction and repentance, on pages 108 to 110, Joseph Hedgecott writes, several steps are included in true repentance. Each one is necessary to completely eliminate the fruit and the root of your sin. 1. Correction. Correction comes when the Holy Spirit bears witness to your spirit that you are wrong in your actions, thoughts, or motives. He corrects you through the Bible, direct revelation, sermons, words from friends, and many other ways. Believers are often afraid to be corrected, but Hebrews 12:6 says, for whom the Lord loveth, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. Correction is confirmation of God's love for you. Chasteneth means to train up a child, educate, or by implication, discipline, by punishment. Chasten or chastise, instruct, learn, teach. The Lord's training includes discipline as well as instruction. Number 2, conviction. When you are corrected, you feel conviction from the Holy Spirit. John 16 and verse 8, Amplified Version, Classic Edition, says, and when he comes, he will convict and convince the world and bring demonstration to it about sin and about righteousness, uprightness of heart, and right standing with God, and about judgment. A simple definition of conviction is to be convinced. One of the Holy Spirit's responsibility is to convince you that you sinned. Godly sorrow. Conviction produces godly sorrow. Godly sorrow leads to repentance and changes you from a carnal to a spiritual believer. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10, Amplified Version, Classic Edition, says, for godly grief and the pain God is permitted to direct produce a repentance that leads and contributes to salvation and deliverance from evil. It never brings regret, but worldly grief, the hopeless sorrow that is characteristic of the pagan world, is deadly, breeding and ending in death. Condemnation, worldly grief, is never from God. It always comes from Satan, who wants to destroy you. Number 4, confession. 1 John 1:9, Amplified Bible, Classic Edition, says, "If we freely admit that we have sinned and confess our sins, he is faithful and just, true to his own nature and promises, and will forgive our sins, dismiss our lawlessness, and continuously cleanse us from all unrighteousness, everything not in conformity to his will in purpose, thought, and action." The only way to remove conviction and godly sorrow is to confess your sins to Jesus Christ. The moment you confess, he cleanses you from all unrighteousness, and you move back into God's presence. Confession removes the fruit of your sin, but confession alone does not deal with the root of sin, which is your lordship. When you confess your sin and are in the Spirit again, you need to ask him to expose the pathway from the fruit of your sin to the root of your sin. Number 5, true repentance. It's important to shut the door to each sin and satanic access that is in between the manifested fruit of sin and the root of sin, your lordship. The pathway between the fruit and the root of sin includes lies you believe to be the truth, judgments you make from your lordship, and decisions or actions that open the door to satanic access. As you embrace correction, the Holy Spirit identifies the fruit, branches, trunk, and root of your disobedience. The fruit of your sin may be obvious, but the branches, the come-froms, and the trunk, selfishness, may not be seen as easily. I encourage believers to ask why questions as they repent. For example, if you're angry, ask the Holy Spirit why you reacted in that way. As the Holy Spirit exposes your sins, you can see that each one comes from selfishness. Sin is inevitable when you focus on yourself rather than God. The root of sin is always your lordship, pride. Going through the steps of true repentance at the Spirit's direction produces righteousness. This entire process takes place in God's presence. The devil has no right to judge or condemn you for your sin, and neither do you. Christianity is not just another religion, but a relationship with the living God. Normally in any relationship, two people have to change, but God does not change. To help us, God has clearly stated how he will respond consistently to the way we behave, so there's no confusion. God will never change his mind about blessing those who do what is right, so they can prosper. Also, he does not change his mind regarding those who turn to do evil and do not repent. We read in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 18, verses 1 to 13. I'm reading Jeremiah 18, starting in verse 1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, verse 2, "Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my words." Verse 3, "Then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels." Verse 4, "And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as seemed good to the potter to make it." Verse 5, "Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying," verse 6, "O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are ye in my hand, O house of Israel." Verse 7, "At what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it." Verse 8, "If that nation against whom I have pronounced turn from their evil, I will repent of the evil that I thought to do unto them." Verse 9, "And at what instant I shall speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it." Verse 10, If it do evil in my sight, that it obey not my voice, then I will repent of the good wherewith I said I would benefit them. Verse 11, now therefore, go to speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus said the Lord, behold, I frame evil against you and devise a device against you. Return ye now every one from his evil way and make your ways and your doings good. Verse 12, and they said, there is no hope, but we will walk after our own devices, and we will every one do the imagination of his evil heart. Verse 13. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, ask ye now among the heathen, who hath heard such things, the virgin of Israel hath done a very horrible thing. If you are childish, you will not like correction, but that will change the way you experience God. God does not need to change his ways because he is perfect. You do not get a different version of God each time, like 1.0, 1.2, etc. God is consistent. Someone said your attitude affects your altitude. The way God treats you depends on you. Some pastors are on burnout with the latest ideas of church growth or just using the gifts of the Spirit, without making disciples as Jesus commanded. This all looks good, but there's no real growth without repentance. Everything in God's kingdom is done out of love, and none of his plans fail. John said in 1 John 4 and verse 17 and 18. This is in 1 John chapter 4, I'm reading verse 17. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Verse 18, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out all fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made perfect in love. A fear of failure is in those who have not developed their love relationship with God. Your love for God can be perfected. You can do this by seeking God's commands and seeking to obey God without ever getting in the flesh. Those who are spiritual have a confidence based on the fact that everything they did was done motivated out of love. Paul said in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. This is Galatians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth and crucified among you. If you have the word of truth, it will set you free. With God's help, you can find the reason why you cannot obey God. This does not take forever unless you use your natural mind, trying to come to truth. Do not start seeking more information out of pride. God will provide all the information you need to repent. Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 19 to 21. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm reading verse 19. But I will come unto you shortly, if the Lord will, and will know not the speech of them which are puffed up, but the power. Verse 20. For the kingdom of God is not in word, but in power. Verse 21. What will ye? Shall I come unto you with a rod or in love? And in the spirit of meekness. Paul nearly had to treat the Corinthians like badly behaving children. There was open sin in the church. Get a habit every day of being a doer of the truth you have received by the Spirit. Do not resist conviction, as this is the hope of salvation. You can do everything you need to do in the Spirit. It takes longer the first time to do things in the Spirit because it will be new to you. Make no excuses. Trust God and go slowly with him if you've never done it before. Be honest and look at the outcome. His ways are better than man's ways. Start by proving this by not yielding to the flesh in one or two areas of your life at a time. Here are some helpful points. Number one, confess your sin and make sure you're in the Spirit. Number two, do not let the world set the speed for any activities. Number three, Take time to hear the Lord and keep records using a notebook. Number four, ask Him to take the initiative by the Holy Spirit. Number five, ask the Lord in the morning how you can do routine tasks in the Spirit without thinking. Number six, rely on the peace of God to make you aware of any changes. Number seven, do not grieve the Holy Spirit by having another agenda. Number eight, stop if necessary and do not get anxious. Number nine, ask the Lord what is wrong when you lose the peace of God and expect Him to answer immediately. Those in the kingdom keeping His commands are not baptized in lemon juice. They experience the love of God through His commands. You're either childish or childlike, but not both. If you want to become spiritual and grow, you have to become like a little child. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verses 3 and 4. This is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, I'm reading verse 3. And said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Verse 4. "Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven." Growing spiritually includes some pressure for a period of time that exposes bad fruit. That pressure then subsides to give you time to process truth, repent deeply, and get to the root. The devil will try and keep you busy in those times with other things. If you're finding some difficulty coming to repentance, then cry out to God and ask for more time. Keep a notebook of what God is showing you through the pressure you are under. Jesus paid the price for you to come to repentance by removing the barrier between you and God, and He's given you the Spirit of Truth as well. If you're getting angry, you're already childish and you are in the flesh. James said in James chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. This is James chapter 1. I'm reading verse 19. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath." Verse 20. "For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God." In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, volume 1, Foundations for Spiritual Maturity, in chapter 2 on practical instructions, on page 45, Joseph Hitchcock writes, "The Lord told me that technology can lead to distractions. Trust me on this. I know the way I did it works because of the fruit that is evident in my life. It is too easy to let your mind get distracted when you use a computer, and subconsciously you may hold on to control. It is time to let go of the control once and for all." Note, using technology to look up scriptures and Strong's definitions may help you with your research. However, be sure to ask the Lord about this. He may require you to use reference books because this is necessary to help you slow down and hear His voice more clearly. The key is to take your time and not rush the process. You may be getting in the flesh just because you cannot hear God at the speed you want to hear, trying to serve two masters. The devil uses technology and especially social media so you do not have time for God. Some have a habit just to check for messages without asking God. Leave your phones at home if you do not need them. Many believers see no harm in using technology, but their lives end up going faster so they cannot hear God. He allowed knowledge to increase to prevent unnecessary suffering. However, through the love of money, mankind is too much information. We read in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 19 and verse 23. "Then said Jesus unto His disciples, Verily I say unto you, that a rich man shall hardly enter into the kingdom of heaven." The word rich in Strong's is number 4145. It means wealthy, figuratively abounding with, or rich. Carnal Christians cannot understand how Jesus overcame the cross without having authority and power in Himself. At the cross, you lay down your talents, abilities, and strengths and weaknesses to be used for His glory. He is Lord, and He knows how everything works. You can use your best talents, make some money, open doors, and get a good career. if you do become comfortable and rich in this world, it'd be much harder for you to trust God and enter the kingdom. To use the talents God gave you in a wrong way is also a misuse of his grace. We read in the book of Isaiah 55, verses 6 to 9. This is Isaiah 55. I'm reading verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Verse 7. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. Verse 9. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. To get in the flesh, you must believe lies, unbelief, to justify your own personal desires. Resist and fight conviction. Those who are childish judge God that he is not trustworthy to make all the right decisions and take over the lordship and see nothing wrong with that. You have to take from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil to usurp authority over God or judge him. Jesus never judged his Father as wrong when he died on the cross for the sins of the whole world. If you judge God as unfair, you will do something else that is easier on your flesh because you are earthly minded. Jesus said in Matthew 7, verses 13 and 14. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, I'm reading verse 13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be which go in that way. Verse 14. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Man makes decisions foolishly based on issues he thinks are important. Jesus took all the authority he had and gave it up willingly just to do the will of the Father. There is nothing more exciting and dynamic than doing the will of the Father, watching him provide his solutions based on his wisdom. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 16, this is John's Gospel, chapter 15, and verse 16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. Jesus got his authority from heaven because he submitted to God, not just by saying a prayer out loud. Paul was not concerned about seeing things clearly so he could make an informed decision. Paul was looking at the fruit in his own life. He knew only God can see the end from the beginning, and only he could make the right decision. He saw contentment and godliness as great gain. In the Amplified Bible, Matthew 5 and verse 7 says, blessed, happy, to be envied, and spiritually prosperous, with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, regardless of their outward conditions, are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. You become spiritually prosperous by sowing grace and mercy and not reacting in this world. Jesus changed everything by giving us access to God through the Holy Spirit, so we do not have to be selfish or self-seeking. Jesus is our example. He loved us when we were his enemies, trapped in sin, disobedient to the divine will. His love is there for you so that you can come to maturity. You were cleansed, confessing your sin, and not judged because you agreed to make Jesus Lord at salvation. God knows all things. If you are a child of God, you will experience God's love in many different ways. He knows how to build a house, make something beautiful and perfect. However, God is not like this world. He does not make knowledge available to everyone. The knowledge you gain with a wrong motivation will be used for evil rather than good. God put the tree of the knowledge of good and evil in the garden to enjoy. But Jesus is the only one qualified to take from it. We read in Revelation chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 5. I'm reading verse 11. And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands. Verse 12. Saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing." Everything you need is available in Christ in the tree of life. If you get angry at God, this is selfish. The truth is, He is love and communicating His perfect will for every child of God. The problem is in His children who do not have ears to hear and would go off in a direction with just the information they want to hear instead, using their own natural wisdom. James said in James 3, verses 15 to 18. This is James chapter 3. I'm reading verse 15. "This wisdom that descends not from above, but is earthly, sensual, and devilish." Verse 16. "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." Verse 17. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy." Verse 18. "And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace to them that make peace." When it comes to correction, you're either childish or childlike, but not both. For you to enter the kingdom of God, you have to remain like a little child. Becoming mature is a mystery to many people in the body of Christ. When man became contaminated with sin, God put him out of the garden immediately to give him a chance to repent. In the first generation, Enoch used all his time to learn what pleased God. Paul said in Hebrews 11:5, "By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God." If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow way, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to grow up spiritually, not be earthly minded, and come to maturity, then I can recommend the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious works, where you do not have to deny yourself daily and take up your cross. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow way. The broad way leads to destruction, looks good. It is signposted heaven this way, and many well-meaning good people attending church are on the broad road. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've shared a message about being childish. Many are childish, seeking the things of this world. They're not prepared to let go. They're holding on to things that are keeping them from becoming mature and enjoying God's best in their lives. And I pray that through the message that you've heard today, your heart has been touched by things that you need to let go of, and that you can confidently now seek God for commandments and know that He loves you. I pray there has been a dramatic change in your life, that your heart is now desiring that personal relationship with God. Father, I pray for those who are hearing this message that you continue to do this work in them. The things that they've heard, that you have spoken to them. My prayer is that that seed that's been sown in them, that it may be deep, planted in their life and bear fruit and bring praise and glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for listening. You can find a summary of the scriptures and used in today's message below the video, either written out or via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. We would love to hear from you. God bless you, and thank you for listening.